Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. Welcome back, Andrew and Adam. And we are deep into the NFL draft season, the 2024 NFL draft coming up very soon, Thursday, the 26th of April. It'll be on early in the morning, so make sure you book off that Friday if you want to watch the entire first round. The guys have been doing some extracurricular betting stuff as well around the draft and other content as well, so make sure you check that out on all social media platforms, including YouTube, and on everywhere and anywhere, I suppose. Andrew, Adam, welcome back again. We covered the quarterbacks last week. We're now going to talk about some of the wide receivers coming into the NFL draft today. We'll start off with, we'll talk about the top two guys everyone's been talking about to begin with, Andrew, and that is Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. I mean, Marvin Harrison has been on the tips of everybody's tongue since December, really. I mean, even before that, I mean, I remember you saying about him last year that he was going to go really high in this draft. So what makes Marvin Harrison so good and so transcendent? But we were even talking about him before this draft season even came around.
Yeah, I mean, it's prototypical wide receiver for the NFL size. But I think the key things for him, for me, I don't know if they're the same for everyone else, but his route running is really, really sharp and his hands are absolutely fantastic. And then everything else, he's just fantastic at as well. I think he's elite at every single wide receiver aspect that you'd want. I think the only nitpick and negative that we've spoke about is yards after the catch. But, you know, he moves the chains, he gets the touchdowns, and he's fantastic when he's one-on-one. He's made some cornerbacks that are currently in the NFL look stupid. I know when he went up against Penn State, twice against Penn State, Joey Porter, he had ran rings around him, and we've seen how good he is in the NFL. And again, against Kalen King, who's a high prospect this year. So, I just think he's been able to do it with a good team, and then the team wasn't as good this year as it was previous when they had CJ Stroud, and he still managed to produce the goods and put the team on his back and be their best player.
Yeah, 6'3", 2,613 yards, 31 touchdowns off of 155 receptions for his 3-year career at Ohio State. I mean, it is certain that this guy is going to go in amongst the top five. Just where that is, we don't know yet. I mean, there's definitely a lot of trade talk out there at the minute for that number four spot with the Arizona Cardinals. However, a lot of mocks had him going to there before they started doing trades and stuff like that. Again, you may not know much about these college players, so we are going to cover quite a few and talk about some of the players that could maybe go to your teams in the first round or even maybe in the later rounds. Adam, let's move on to Malik Nabers of LSU. 3 years there, 189 receptions, 3,003 yards, 21 touchdowns on his 3-year career there, standing at 6 foot. A guy, again, that I've heard absolutely loads about throughout this draft process, and also a guy that's figured to probably go in the top 10 as well. Why is this guy so appealing to a lot of these teams? I mean, on an LSU team that we've seen some great players come for this team, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Is Malik Nabers going to be the next big LSU wide receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, it would be surprising if he wasn't, to be honest. He really does look like he has that potential in him. He's got amazing speed, great separation. They're kind of his two main things. Stat that I've been throwing out over and over again that Andrew's probably bored to tears of hearing about is that 43 of his 86 catches in 2023 went for 15 yards or more. That's pretty unheard of, and that's kind of the sort of guy you've got. That's the difference between him and Harrison. I think he is a bit more of a big sort of like big yardage kind of play. That's more what Malik Nabers is. He brings that speed. To me, he reminds me of DJ Moore a little bit. I think he's kind of got that about him a little bit more, whereas for I think Harrison is kind of more your sort of like Ja'Marr Chase or Lamb kind of comparison, really, where they can kind of do everything that you need them to do. But yeah, I mean, Nabers, you know, you could argue that he had obviously he had a bit of help having Brian Thomas there as well. I think they probably helped each other build up the stats a little bit, and obviously Jaden Daniels being the quarterback would have helped with that as well. But it'd be be surprising. I would have thought he's definitely top 10, potentially top 5. So, yeah, he really could be very, very good in the NFL.
Is there a team that you figure that may be looking to take him?
Me specifically, well, I kind of have this theory that I think the Patriots might go for Harrison. So if that was to happen and the Cardinals were sitting there, they could either trade back or take him. I think the Chargers are another team that are desperately looking for wide receiver help. So, you know, that would make sense as well. Andrew's Giants, of course, are always after wide receivers, and a pick 6 would make a lot of sense. So I think them three teams, I do feel like they're the three teams that are going to come up quite a lot in this show, because not only in round 1, but 2 and 3 as well, they're in very good positions to pick up wide receivers. So, yeah, I mean, any of them three teams, I think they'd be lucky to have him.
Well, yeah, these two guys are definitely going to be on a lot of people's radar in that top 10, even that top 5 process, I suppose. It will be exciting on the night to see if there is any trades, which would probably mean if people are trading up, I don't necessarily think it will be for these two guys. I think it may be, especially into the top 4, I suppose, I think it would be for quarterbacks, if anything. So it's going to be really interesting to see where these guys go. We're going to talk about some players that maybe go in the first round as well, and maybe some teams that are going to be targeting them maybe in the mid to late aspect of the draft as well. So I'll start with Rome Odunze out of Washington, 4 years there, 6'3". I mean, a huge guy, 214 receptions, 3,272 yards, 24 touchdowns. Obviously, catching them from Michael Penix, the quarterback at Washington, Andrew. A player that I've seen a few mocks and a few people's opinions that Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are more closer than Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison. Would you agree on that, or do you have a different aspect? But the one thing I have heard that's been the constant is that Odunze is going to be a great success in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Odunze is a fantastic player. I'm really high on him. Spent a lot of time watching a lot of Washington this year, so really, really love him. I think in terms of evaluating the gap between them, I think there's a lot of teams that are actually set that have Nabers as their number one wide receiver on the board. I think, you know, that's probably going to be outweighed by Harrison's number one on more people's. But so I think there's probably a gap then indicating that Odunze is a little bit further behind the top two. But he's a different type of receiver. You know, this guy is big guy. He's physical. He's vertical. He's a great route runner. And the thing I love about him, and Adam loves a stat on this about the wide receivers, that he catches 80% of his contested catches. And I think that is just a fantastic stat. And he did that last year. I think he struggled with it at the start of his career with them and then just improved. And we like progression, and we like the fact that he can do that. So he's one of these guys that if you've got him on the field, he's going to run great routes. He's going to catch the ball. He's got great hands. And he's not bothered to get into a bit of a tussle and win that ball. So I think that's just a different style. You can throw the ball down the field to him and know he's going to catch it. Whereas Nabers, I think you want to get it into his hands early and let him do the rest. So it all depends on what you've already got on your team, of which one of the two that you prefer. I know for me, we've got a lot of the Giants, which is what we're talking about at that position. We've got a lot of quick guys that you want to get the ball in the hands. I think Wandale Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt, very quick. We haven't got someone like Rome Odunze on our team. We haven't got an alpha on our team like that. So I think situational-wise, he'd be perfect for the New York Giants.
So if the stars align where it gets the Giants pick and Nabers and Odunze are on the board, though you believe Nabers to be the better wide receiver, would you prefer Odunze because he has the skill set that the Giants are lacking in?
Yeah, I think I've said this a few times across a lot of our mock draft shows. I do think he's the better prospect for us, despite the fact that Nabers might be the better talent. I think he might struggle to find a slot to play, and there'll be lots of people competing for the same area of the ball. So, yeah, that's my reasoning behind that. Adam looks like he disagrees quite a lot, and he's all in on Nabers, I think.
I don't think there'll be a competition. I think all your others will just disappear because of him. I think he'll just take over everything. I personally feel like myself, I think Neighbours is closer to Harrison than Odunze is to Neighbours. I think that the thing with Neighbours is that really it's very difficult to be able to stop him. I think that that's the big thing when it comes to Neighbours. Odunze, he does have a few things that makes you feel like, okay, yeah, he's very good. He's a great red zone target. He is a very good contested catches kind of guy. I do think that his sort of yards after the catch are not necessarily fantastic. I think they're okay, but I don't think they're amazing. He kind of reminds me of Chris Olave, like a big Chris Olave sort of thing. That's the one that I've always come out with. But I feel like I can understand specifically for the Giants why it would make sense. However, I think when you're kind of in that position, the hypothetical that you've just come up with, and you've got both guys, it kind of makes more sense to take the talent rather than what you think your team specifically needs. And I just feel like there are guys that are big-bodied guys you can get later on if you really wanted to. So it's like I feel like the talent would be better to go with Neighbours.
If we stick on that theory then, that Neighbours gets to the Giants take Neighbours instead of Odunze, where do you then see Odunze position to maybe go to?
I think personally that the Bears obviously make a lot of sense. Keenan Allen, it's basically a one-year deal. So it does feel like the Bears... Yeah, basically. So it does feel like it's an obvious spot for them. If they didn't go down that route, then obviously someone like the Jets at 10 would make a lot of sense as well. It does feel like they need another offensive weapon. And there's a lot of people mocking Brock Bowers there now. But if Odunze was there, then that would make a lot of sense as well. Other than that, I kind of feel like, you know, the Chargers, if they traded back sort of thing, would make a lot of sense as well. So it's them teams that are at the top really for him.
Because you could theorise that the Chargers, say the Cards don't trade out, the Chargers could drop down to 11 with Minnesota go up and take JJ McCarthy. Let's just say it's just it's a narrative that everyone's sort of believing in at the minute. If the Vikings are going to go and do that, getting to 11. I mean, it's a risk getting there, but the Bears could look in other areas. The Jets could look in other areas, I suppose. So yeah, it'd be a risk, but it's maybe you gain an extra first next year. Maybe you could definitely roll the dice. But let's say Odunze isn't there. Let's have a look at maybe another wide receiver that could also slink into the first round. That's Brian Thomas of LSU as well as Malik Neighbours. We did mention him earlier. 3-year career there, 6'4", so 4 inches taller than Neighbours, 127 yards, 127 receptions, 1,897 yards, 24 touchdowns. That's what I was fumbling all over there. Again, a 3-year career, so both of them two have been together the whole way through this journey at LSU, Andrew. And it's difficult, isn't it, when you've got someone like Neighbours on your team and you maybe feel like you're in his shadow maybe. Has that been the case for Brian Thomas, or has he planted a flag with his name on it saying, but you know, just because I'm running alongside Neighbours doesn't mean that I can't be a number one for your team?
Yeah, I think LSU have been in this situation before. They had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson both on the same team at the same time. Both of them managed to perform. Both of them managed to be first-round talents. Both of them managed to produce the goods in the NFL and show how good they are. I do feel that you might have a slight similarity with the Jefferson thing, where he dropped down more than I thought he would, based on the fact that people were like, oh, he's the number two to Jamar Chase, so he's moved down. So I think that people won't make this mistake, and they understand that. For me, I don't know if this is the same for you, Adam, but outside these four for me are people that can go into teams and be their wide receiver one. I think everybody after this is probably a wide receiver two, talent-wise. So I really, really rate him. Think he's great. And I don't think you've got the issue of the fact there's going to be two LSU receivers in the first round. I don't think that hurts his stock too much. I think he produced the goods. He led the league in touchdowns with his 17 last year, and that's with Neighbours on his team. So, you know, good hands, good feet, you know, good ball tracking, and former basketball player. So he's got the jump as well. So he'll be able to go up and get the ball at his highest point and be fine. So I have no red flags with him in that. I just think maybe he's not got that full elite speed, but he's quick. And we also saw, I don't know whether you saw them at the combine, but when he was with his teammates, when he's with neighbors, when they interviewed them, there was a lot of camaraderie, a lot of fun, a lot of challenging each other. It doesn't look like he was after the limelight or in a shadow. It just looked like he's a good team player and he'll go in there and do a job and wants to win with his team. So really likes his personality. That came across really strong as well.
Yeah, I think you're completely right about the aspects of that, of seeing how he is visually and seeing how he is with teammates is going to be very important to teams. And don't doubt for a second it isn't too important to teams. They want to know a character of a guy. Again, a player that could have been a star in basketball or NFL, a little bit like, you know, Kyler Murray with baseball and NFL and stuff like that. And he's picked to go with NFL, Adam. Yeah, I think Andrew was right with that whole sort of Justin Jefferson dropped as well because of the wide receiver room that is at LSU. And so if he's dropping and we've got that sort of weird 11, 12, 13, 14, Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, Saints could all do something about the quarterback position. We sort of spoke about that last week. The ones after that is sort of Indianapolis. I mean, then there's a really good chance in that 16 to 20 bracket for a team to move up. Do you think teams would be interested to move up if he was there? Or, I mean, I've seen him mocked a few times to the Colts. I don't think that's a ridiculous thing to say either for Michael Pittman to be alongside. Again, Andrew saying about a player that doesn't mind not sharing the limelight. Michael Pittman got a massive extension this offseason. He's going to be there for a long time. He's definitely their number one guy. Do you see him going in this range, or are you thinking he might go a little bit further?
So I, pretty much all the way through this, it's been Buffalo, hasn't it? That's kind of what the logic has always been. And Buffalo, since Stephon Diggs has gone, there's been lots of rumours that they're going to trade up. They're going to try and push up to be able to get him and make sure that they get him. And that's kind of what has always been one that would make a lot of sense. And again, it would make sense. They could move up and go into that sort of range. It probably wouldn't take too much in order to get there. And they would be getting a future wide receiver that they need. So that would make a lot of sense. There is one team, however, that is in that range that I haven't really thought of them as a wide receiver team at all. Every single mock that we've gone through, it's always been corner, corner, corner all the time. But Jacksonville are a team that, obviously, without Ridley there now, I mean, their depth chart is basically Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Gabe Davis, isn't it? Yeah, and Gabe Davis is there.
Now, yeah, Evan Engram, you could argue as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you could come out and go that Gabe Davis is there to replace Calvin Ridley, but a lot of these teams now need to have three wide receivers. And do we really think that in a division where Diggs has now gone to the Texans, and, you know, are they going to be able to compete with the likes of Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Gabe Davis against these other guys that are now in Texas? So to me, they do seem like a team that are wide receiver needy. They might decide to wait, obviously, and go further back into the draft. That would make a lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, if you want someone who is sort of like real top notch that can put in a statement, because at the moment, the Texans are favorite for that division. And, you know, we were saying, weren't we, last week, and about CJ Stroud, that doesn't look like that's going to change. Trevor Lawrence, everything's kind of gone a bit south because of what was happening there. It's not really worked in the way that I think a lot of people thought it would coming out of college. So they might need to make a bit of an impact after losing Ridley. And I'm not sure that Gabe Davis is enough in order to be able to cover it.
Adam, are you in agreement that Thomas is the last of the ones that you'd go up and get, though? Am I right in saying that those four are the wide receiver one talent?
He's a one and a half, isn't he? He's not quite there, but he's sort of better than the twos. But yeah, he's a funny one. He's by himself. He really is. He's like, I think the problem is, when it comes to Thomas, is he's done 1 year of being very, very good, and that's about it. And so because of that, there's always that sort of niggling feeling of, was it just a lucky year? Was it just because he had Malik Nabers, who was like popping off all over the field? You know, I mean, is that what it is? So I think because of that, there is that sort of niggling doubt that maybe he might not necessarily be a wide receiver one, but I think he certainly has the potential to be.
Do you think it's fair to say that the sort of top three guys are sort of franchise changers, and the guys after that, it's sort of a little bit like the quarterbacks we said last week, where the situation's really, really going to matter? Like, if Thomas goes into Indianapolis, he's number two next to Pittman, but is playing at a let's say a T. Higgins level for the Bengals, where he's like head and shoulders one of the best number twos in the league. But or maybe he drops and goes to, I don't know, a Green Bay, for example, and is in amongst players that there's a few guys there, Adam, if you don't mind, they've got one talent, but they've not. There's no one really at the top of the table there, is there, really, at the minute with Green Bay? You know, what I mean?
you wouldn't say there's a wide receiver one. You would say that there's kind of like you've got Reed, you've got Dobbs, you've got Wicks, you've got Watson. They're all very good at what they do, and it kind of as a unit it works very well. But there isn't any that you would say have sort of like pushed themselves head and shoulders above the others yet. I think Reed certainly has the potential to, but at the moment, I don't think they're quite there. So, yeah, I just feel like the top three are very, very good. And they really could be, you know, like I'm Harrison, I think is Jefferson and Lamb. And then I think the other two are kind of like really good wide receivers, like your DJ Moores, you know, that kind of thing, which maybe, you know, they're never going to be quite at the height, but they're still very, very good players for your franchise, and they're going to make a big difference. I mean, you've seen that with what happened in Chicago, haven't you? So, I mean, that's what you're talking about. And then it does sort of peter down a little bit.
Okay, let's move on then to some of the players that sort of on the periphery first round, could maybe slip into there, but are more than likely going to be second round picks. So, Andrew, do you want to start off with a player that you want to talk about to begin with?
I think the next one up for me in terms of being able to produce the goods in the NFL, I think for me this draft has got a lot of wide receivers that are tall and big guys. I think in previous years we've had a lot of little guys. So I'm going to stick with someone who's more on the NFL sort of profile for a wide receiver, and that's A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I think he has the next potential, although there wasn't loads of tape on him for the year of fantastic high-end stuff. I think the height, the weight, the speed, and the attributes, I think he just looks like he could produce the goods in the NFL. So I think that's for me a guy that could be going at the back end of the first. I think you've now got a nice little cluster of about three guys that I think would be really good value to a lot of those teams at the back end of the first. And A.D. Mitchell is one of them for me.
Okay, I'm just getting up so I can see the second round picks as well. A three-year college career, 2 years to begin with at Georgia and then a year at Texas where he finished himself off there. 93 receptions, 1,405 yards, 18 touchdowns for his college career. If he's going at the back end, Adam, or maybe into the second, I mean, you've got a few teams that are maybe going to be looking there. Kansas City is one of them. I mean, you then to go into the second, you've got New England, Arizona, if they didn't take a receiver. I mean, they could double dip on wide receiver, I suppose, because they are weak at the position under Kyler Murray. You've got, I mean, Washington as well, after getting rid of DJ Moore last year. They're looking to sort of get some stock back in as well. Can you see him going in this range? Do you think he's going to sort of, if it's not just in the first, it will be the top of the second?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did very well at the combine, didn't he? He kind of, apart from Xavier Worthy, I think he kind of was the star of the show, did very well, tested incredibly well. Everyone was really, really loved what they saw. And he's a little bit of a scary prospect to me. I feel like he's had one amazing year. and not a lot else, and that's kind of like a little bit concerning when it comes to it. You sort of think, where was the rest of it? It just sort of wasn't really there. But yeah, he's Texas, of course, is a team, aren't they, who run the ball a lot as well, famously. So it is sometimes difficult for their wide receivers to be sort of get a lot of a look in there. But yeah, he's I think Kansas City makes a lot of sense if they want to go for a wide receiver. You could argue Buffalo would make a lot of sense if they don't want to move. A team that we've brought up multiple times as a team that does need a wide receiver and is at the back is the Baltimore Ravens. You know, that would make a lot of sense as well. They are basically Zay Flowers and not a lot else.
You'd be getting the polar opposite of Zay Flowers, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like in that respect, it would make sense. So yeah, I think that he would definitely be good there as a slightly different type of receiver for them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if he does, not all of these are going to be first round picks. He could quite easily slip to the second round. And if he does, then I think you've got Carolina, I think, are going to be looking for a wide receiver. New England are desperate for receivers. Again, as you said, Arizona is a good team that might want it. And the Chargers, of course, is another one. You know, there's quite a lot of teams. It's funny because it feels like there's actually a lot of wide receivers in the league. There's actually quite a lot of needy teams for wide receiver, and there's some really good wide receivers here. So yeah, I think any of them would make a lot of sense for someone like Mitchell.
Okay, well, we'll stick on you, Adam. If we chatted about Adonai Mitchell just there, let's talk about another player that maybe is going to go in this range.
So I'm going to go for Ladd McConkey. We're going to get McConkey in here. Now, McConkey, I think, is a early second. I don't think he's going to quite make the first round, but he's a very good route runner, slot receiver, did all of that really, really well at Georgia. A lot of people, a bit like the production's not really been there, and a lot of the reason for that is Brock Bowers. So that's going to be the reason why you're not going to get so much from him. But McConkey is, first of all, he's got a great name. I mean, that's a reason to draft him if for no other reason. But I just think that he's not going to be fantastic, but he's going to be very steady. And I think that there's a lot of teams out there that need that, and they need someone like that. To me, if you put him on the Patriots, he could be Edelman. That is exactly what he is. And he's not flashy. He's not going to be amazing, but he will get the job done and he'll be really good. And so I think if the Patriots were to go for a quarterback in the first round, he would be an ideal receiver for them to pick up in the second.
Yeah, he's got 4 years at Georgia. However, he didn't suit up in the 2020 season. 119 receptions, 1,687 yards, 14 touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns as well. That's quite big shoes to fill, Andrew. Julian Edelman's shoes. Do you think? Did you have a little bit of a similar thought to Adam? I don't think you do. I think you may feel a bit different.
He loves him.
I'm surprised that. Adam quite evaluated him quite fairly. I thought Adam was going to over-evaluate him. I thought there was going to be a bit more hype on him. But no, he's nailed it. This guy is just, he's a great guy and he's good at everything. I think that's as far as I can go with it. He's not really elite at anything. So you're going to get a real good, solid player. And he reminds me of a guy that's probably a little bit more athletic version of Hunter Renfro. He's a Hunter Renfro for me. And I think he can live up to that expectation and maybe be a little bit better than Renfro. So that's where I've got him at talent-wise and what you're going to get from him, which, again, it's not a bad comp. You know, the guy had his place at the Raiders and it worked very, very well. I suppose you can say that Renfro is maybe a B-Tech version of Edelman, couldn't you? So yeah, we're in the same ballpark of what type of player he's going to be, but he's going to work hard. He's going to play well. And he's just a good player. He's just not fantastic for me.
just not fantastic. Well, maybe that might bite you backside at some point later on. He may be the Patriots, it may be the next Julian Edelman. You never know. We've got another player that's going to go in this region, maybe in the mid-second round. He has a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, a team famous for taking wide receivers in the second and into the third round and then producing the goods. Do we have another name that we can talk about in this range?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Xavier Worthy isn't talked about as back end of the first round. I know a lot of people had Troy Franklin knocked in at the Chiefs. I think they're going to have to address, after Rashee Rice's little incident, that they might have to address another wide receiver. And I think Franklin was rumbled before the draft process, but I think Worthy's combine probably swap those two round and maybe give him a chance to go right back end of the first, early second. Like I said, there's a couple of plethora of teams that we go in there as well. So I think Worthy's got a shot after what he produced, but there is some question marks on him. You know, he is quick. He is, you know, his vertical was absolutely fantastic. He can jump, but he's very slender. And I do worry about his size going into the NFL. I think he took a couple of big hits during his time at college and it didn't look great. So I do worry about his size, but lots of players have overcome that. Adams, like I said, Tank Dell's managed to fit in at a smaller size. Jordan Addison's managed to fit in at a smaller size. I know Smith is taller, but, you know, again, another guy that we were worried about him being slender. So I do worry about that, but I think his skill set is good enough. And I've seen flashes of him being fantastic in games, and I've seen flashes of him kind of going a little bit missing sometimes. But if you can get a good coach with him and get more of that high-end stuff that I saw, I think he can be fantastic. I've seen him catch some incredible passes as well. So I think he's got the talent there, and there's a high ceiling for him. I need to see more from him, because I was really excited about him. And he had a great career at Texas, but I thought there was going to be more.
Well, he had 197 receptions, 2,755 yards, 26 touchdowns. But last year, he had 1,014 yards, 5 touchdowns. Do you think the moving of Adonai Mitchell over to Texas hindered his development a little bit?
I don't think it hindered his development. They're very, very different types of guys. Adonai Mitchell was always going to be a bit more of a red zone target with his height and his presence. So I'm not too worried about the touchdowns. I think he had more the year before, I believe. But, you know, the yards were there, and that's what he's there for. He's more of a yards guy than a red zone touchdown guy.
Mm. So he almost worked in tandem a little, you know, better rather than. We sort of talked about the shadowing of Neighbours with Thomas. It's not quite the same over here at Texas, because I know Neighbours and Thomas aren't similar players either, but I suppose, yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's just a different dynamic, isn't it, with these two players, right?
Yeah, completely.
Cool. Have we got anyone else for this sort of first rep into the second round, mid-second round? Adam, you got another player do you think that would slip into the second?
Well, you asked for one in the mid-second and got one at the end of the first. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. So I'll actually give you one that might end up in the mid-second for you. And after, he didn't have a great combine, and that's probably why he's going to end up as the mid-second, which is Troy Franklin. So Franklin out of Oregon, to me, everything from tape looks great. You know, a lot of people were mocking him as though he was going to be in the first round. And like I say, he just had a bit of a poor combine. But I think he's got great hands, really good speed. He's a little bit small. That's kind of the only issue for him. He's 6'3", so he's good in height, but in weight, he's a little bit lightweight. And so he kind of reminds me a little bit of Christian Watson, actually, where he kind of has that sort of slender build to him, but he's still got the height. That's kind of the only real knock on him, is that he's a bit small and that he didn't really test very well at the combine. But, you know, we've seen loads of times, haven't we, these players that don't necessarily test well, but it's the tape and what they do in college is what actually matters. And so I think Franklin is definitely a wide receiver that could be useful in the NFL, and definitely I think if he fell to the second round and a team like the Steelers were there and they, you know, they wanted to go for it, I think they could really sort of like push him on and turn him into something potentially quite special. It's just that there's a few measurables. That's all it is that are just a bit concerning. But you know, as we say, you're seeing sort of smaller players all the time now that are doing well. And if you've got a team that can sort of like sort out their structure so that these small guys can succeed, then there's no reason why Franklin couldn't in the NFL.
Yeah, he had 160 receptions, 2,483 yards, 25 touchdowns. I assume all the 25 touchdowns thrown by one Bo Nix, I would imagine. So, yeah, Andrew, do you agree that Franklin is a player that could sort of slip into that second? You know, does the slenderness worry you, even though we are seeing it more and more now, but it's fine, it's okay. And but also as well, I suppose, again, with the testing, do you think that does matter a lot to teams when they're going into the draft about how they did look at the combine and in comparison to tape?
Yeah, I think when we have got a little cluster of guys that are very, very similar rated and have all got some nice aspects, and there's not a lot of sort of weaknesses, there's probably more strengths than weaknesses, you've got to then go to the things like the combine to say, I value all these guys very similarly, and I like all the tape on them, so how do I pick between them? I think the combine's one of those things that might separate these guys all. He tested slightly better, so I'm going to go for him over that one. So I do think the testing matters to these guys when it comes to these middle of the second round, because that is the bit that you're going to say, that's why I'm picking him over this guy. I do worry about his contested catches, because I think his, when we talked about Adunze having 80% catch on contested catch, I think his was 30%, wasn't it, on contested catches, which is a big worry for me. But he's still fantastic. He had a record setting season, didn't he, in 2023? You know, how can you pass up on watching a guy that had 1,383 yards and 14 touchdowns? You know, it's there, and the tape is there, and it does look good. So I think go back and watch that and reevaluate him again, and we didn't talk about it with Harrison, but he didn't test out at all in pro days or combine because he didn't want to run a bad 40 and his stock drop. You know, the likes of DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen both ran really slow 40s, and their draft stock dropped quite a bit. And look how well they've produced in the NFL. I'm not saying this guy's going to live up to that. I'm just using it as an example that if you do test badly, you can still produce the goods in the NFL if your skill's there.
All right, what about some names that are maybe going into the third round, maybe even fourth round, but still are good prospects, but maybe aren't going to splash onto the scene. I mean, scene straight away, or maybe they will. I mean, look at players like Puka Nacua. There's lots of players now that are going on these later rounds, isn't there? And that are very quick successes in the NFL, and it's not, some of them will need to be developed, but some of these could also be, you know, stars in their own right very, very quickly. Have we got any names?
Well, Adam will call this guy a late second, early third round. I've got him ranked a hell of a lot higher on my board because I just think he's a massive alpha, and that's Keon Coleman for me. I had him really highly rated going into the draft process. Thought he was fantastic for Florida. You know, absolute monster of a player, good speed, good, great, absolutely fantastic. Loves a contested catch, but struggles with the separation. I think that's why he's dropping quite considerably. But who needs separation when you can bully anybody off of it anyway? So I think he's got, for me, I think he's got the chance to be good. But those question marks of the separation, which is so important, are what's going to drop him down the board. So I think you get a steal. I think you can get a steal with him if he is going to be back end of the second, early third. Adam, you're going to disagree massively, aren't you?
He doesn't struggle to separate. He cannot separate. It's something that isn't in his vocabulary. He doesn't know how to do it. And he's not particularly agile either. What he is he's just a big lump. That's what he is. He's a big lump who jumps up very high and catches the ball. Now, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the way that the modern NFL game is going. And that's the problem. So I think he's brilliant at contested catches. I think he's explosive. He's bigger. He's stronger. And he's faster than a lot of players. But the problem is it's all well and good being good at contested catches in college. I don't think Sauce Gardner's going to be worried. Well, let's put it that way. I don't think AJ Terrell's going to be worried.
Can I put it a different way then to you, Adam? No. You watched him at the combine. Yeah, his 40 wasn't fantastic, but he's at the skills drill. He ran the fastest out of all of the wide receivers. I think he clocked 23 miles an hour while in the skills where you're catching the ball while running across the field. And you could argue there's a lot of zone coverage in the NFL. And if he's running across the field and swapping and catching the ball at high speeds, I think there's value there. He's not might not be one-on-one with Sauce all the time and maybe Sauce beating him. But if he gets it, gets out and running, he's got the infield speed, which I quite like.
Well, firstly, he can't separate, so he can't get out and run anywhere. That's half the problem.
They won't be following him, will they? If they're playing zone, they won't be following him.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. No, give me the game tape. I've seen the game tape. He can't do it. All he can do is jump. He should be playing basketball. It'd be ideal.
If you don't believe him, then Adam, then who would be your preferred person?
That sort of position. I feel like Xavier Leggett, if you want a big-bodied guy, I think could be very interesting. I think he'd be a bit of a steal. I mean, he is, again, another player that's quite scary in respect of he's had one very good season and then it's like he didn't really do much of it before. So I think that Leggett is certainly one that you want to look at. I do like the look of Roman Wilson. I think he's one. He's not a big-bodied guy, but he's certainly... kind of actually a little bit Hunter Renfro kind of type and slot sort of receiver where I think he might be good. So there are a few guys out there that are around that sort of like third round range, I think, that could be pretty good. But I mean, it's a really strong class this year. It really is. I mean, there's a good 15 guys, I think, that you could see going in the first three rounds easy, if not more. So, yeah, there's quite a few, but we don't want any lumbering giants, so, you know.
Well, I think Leggett is a great one for you. I was really high on him. I probably brought him to your attention first, didn't I, Adam, with his one season. There is a reason for him not having other good seasons. He was in a motorcycle accident, and he had a lot of time off with that. And when he got his chance, I think he was put onto special teams coming back from his injury. And then he got a chance in his final year at wide receiver and it really produced the goods at 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns. And if you look at the guy at 6'3", 227, it reminds you of a bit of a DK Metcalf-style guy as well. And I think you could get that type of play from him as well. I think he has that ability. So if he's that far down, I think you've got a steal. And I think Roman Wilson, again, you're right with... The only thing knock I've got on Roman Wilson is he played for Michigan and they didn't utilize him because they ran the ball so much. So he's probably got a lot of tread left on the tires and a lot of unseen tape that just wasn't there because they ran the ball so much. So I think someone's going to get a steal with Roman Wilson as well.
I do also think we should probably mention Andrew's Johnny Wilson. I know he's a fan of Johnny Wilson. So it's like I think he probably is definitely a third round pick out of Florida State. You know, he's 6'7", 237 pounds. He's tough to bring down because of his size, but he's got the speed as well. So I think he's another one as well that would definitely be worth looking at in them later rounds. It's just that he's he doesn't separate amazingly, but he's kind of like, I mean, would you expect he's 6'7", you know, and 237 pounds, he's going to struggle. But the one thing I would say, he separates better than Coleman does. And that says a lot.
All right. Size, radius, speed, blocking. I think if you're going to go for Johnny Wilson, you're going to, a team that would like to package it up, I think you could move him to tight end. I think you could play in tight end. And wide receiver, and I think he could do a really, really good job at that. So someone who wants that.
He would be ideal for the Chargers.
Mm.
The way that Harbaugh played at Michigan, he would be one of them wide receiver, tight end, hybrid types that he would love. He would be very good for them.
So I think he might be evaluated as a tight end going into the draft. He might not be evaluated as a wide receiver. I don't know. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait till that comes out. I know we're running for time now, but there's one player left that I do think he needs a mention because he is the biggest steal of the draft. And I think because lots of people are saying there's a chance that before the process started, he could go undrafted. And that's Brendan Rice from USC. And I'm not sure why more people aren't talking about him. I think he is the hidden gem of this draft. I think you're going to get him very, very late. Seeing him at fifth, sixth round. No, again, Adam, he struggled with the separation. And I don't think his tape was as good at USC. But then we saw Jordan Addison go from Penn State to USC and his production dropped. So maybe that's just a USC thing. So I'm not worried about that. And I think he will produce the goods. And he's got a great mentor as well to teach him and move him into the NFL because he's got a very famous dad. So I can see the 49ers maybe taking this guy real late on in the draft.
It certainly would be a storyline that we'd very much enjoy. And three words for this whole show, and that is depth, depth, and more depth. There are so many good wide receivers going into the NFL draft, and it's very, very exciting for us here. Andrew, Adam, thank you again. Make sure you check us out next week on all social media platforms, on YouTube and on podcast, Spotify, any platforms like that, for more NFL draft content. More to come to you very soon. Until then, well, we've also got to think about our mock drafts that we're going to be doing as well on the show, which should be good for. We'll probably be a longer show for that one, but it's definitely going to be worth it with all the build up to the NFL draft on the 26th of April. Until then, have a good week, and we'll see you all very soon.